Keeping it real, real's how we keep it. Get ready for Eddie, set back the beaters show.
Greetings of peace, how are you guys doing? You know, Martin Luther King said that the greatest danger for humanity is sincere ignorance and conscientious stupidity. Let's go to this clip, and I'll be right back.
And we should call it radical Islam. That is what it is. I feel like it's a breath of fresh air that we're going to have a president who's quite frankly not scared to say it for once.
Radical Islam. Exactly.
Radical Islam. Let's all say it together.
Islamophobia machine is affecting even our good friends at the Alex Jones Show. Hopefully we can have them invite my brother on, Dr. Sabil. Let's start with the radical Islam. What's going on? How do you respond to that?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My dear Muslims, greeting of peace. You know, when I watched that clip, Brother Eddie, I was pretty sad that they are attaching the word radical to the word Islam, which is a misnomer. It's very important for us to educate them in sharing with them that there is only one Islam. There is no such thing as radical Islam or progressive Islam or liberal Islam. There is only one Islam. So if they are going to use the word radical with the word Islam just because a Muslim may have done something wrong, that means just to be fair, it should be good that they should also use the word radical when a Christian in the name of Christianity commits a crime. For example, how many times have we seen the word radical Christianity used when the army of the Lord commits crimes in the name of Christianity? Or when Jim Jones, when he had his cult commit suicide, 800 people in Guyana? Or how many times we have used the word radical Christianity when Andre Breivik, he massacred 78 people in Norway about 3 years ago? How about the Planned Parenthood clinic when the person in the name of God Christianity went and shot about 4 or 5 people? How about KKK? So all of them, they represent Christianity, or in the name of Christianity, they have committed these heinous acts. But are we using the word radical Christianity? We are not. So just to be fair, since we don't want to use the word radical Christianity because we know that it is not Christianity that motivates those people, it is their human fallible nature. They are mental, they have mental problems and other reasons. In the same way, just to be fair, we should not use the word radical Islam. We can say that a radical person may have done it, but definitely not Islam. But why stop at, you know, the word radical Islam? If you want to use radical, let's use it for radical Christianity, Judaism, Hinduism. But let's not stop up there. Why not a radical white? When a white person does something wrong, or a radical white race, radical black race, a radical America, a radical Saudi Arabia. There is no stopping when we are using these labels. So the best thing to do is not use the word radical Islam, radical Christianity. Just say that yes, a radical act was done by a person, and we as humans, we should all condemn that act. Doesn't matter who makes the act, who commits the act, what ideology he's doing it for, what weapon he's using, who he's killing or she's killing. We as humans, we condemn all these acts. And obviously Islam condemns it. And in chapter 5 of the Quran, verse number 32, it says that taking the life of one innocent person is like taking the life of all of humanity. So that is what Islam is. A faith of peace. It's not radical. A person can be radical, but Islam is peace. It's not radical.
Helping to remove the ignorance, sincere ignorance, people falling victim to many of the false narratives that are perpetuated out there. Let's go to another part of this clip in the essence of removing some of the ignorance. And God willing, if they'd invite you on the Alex Jones Show, would you come on, Dr. Sabil?
Inshallah, I would be there.
God willing, he'll be there. Inshallah. So let's go to the next clip.
Let's look at the list of Islamic terror attacks in 2016, and they stopped doing this test in July because there's quite frankly so many. During this time period, there were 1,274 Islamic attacks. in which 11,774 people were killed and 14,303 killed around the world.
Exactly.
Radical Islam, let's all say it together.
Let's not say it together. How about we take the advice of our friend and not offend over 1.7 billion people over the globe and pulling out these statistics. We're going to address that now. How about that, Sox? So, Bill, I don't know, they're pulling these statistics out of a rabbit hat. I mean, what's the source? You got to quote the source. Tell us, you know, where they're getting this stuff. How would you answer this?
You know, when I heard the clip, I was surprised when they quoted 11,000 people dying by quote-unquote radical Islam or Muslims. They have not quoted any source, number one. Even if the source is true, let's look at the global picture, by the way. You know, I'm from Chicago. In this year, up until now, there are 700 murders in the city of Chicago, just one city. Many more in Detroit, many more in LA, New York. So every murder, every killing of the innocent, we should condemn it. So we should not just restrict the term terrorism to just the acts done by a Muslim. Terrorism or causing terror to the innocent people has been done by people of different faiths, different countries, nationalities, and races. So every murder is an act of terrorism. So when we take that into account, there were 700 acts of terrorism in Chicago taking place by Chicagoans, and we should all condemn it. But why stop up there? According to the statistics, from 9/11 up until now, means December 2015, there have been 406,000 mass shootings, not mass shootings, death by gun violence in the USA. That's close to 500,000. So each single act of killing innocent person, again, is an act of terrorism. So when you compare 11,000 compared to close to 500,000, this is nothing. You know, I mean, obviously, we as Muslims, as humans, we should cry out for every single person that is dying. Innocent life is being lost. Every drop of blood is sacred. But when we compare 11,000 to 500,000 acts of terrorism happens in the USA, we should all condemn it. And we should not label those acts as American terrorism or radical USA. We should just say that each single act, humans are doing it because of emotions, because of grievance, because of anger, because of their mental state, and definitely not because of the US Constitution. In the same way, when we look at the acts of killing by some Muslims, a minute minority of the Muslims in some countries, it's very important that geopolitical factors are the main reason why they're doing it. Sometimes to fight oppression, sometimes to fight the dictators which are there taking away the rights, sometimes to because of anger and vengeance and grievance, because of the drone missiles, because of the air strikes. All of these could be the reasons, but these are not the excuses, my dear friends. Islam says that you cannot take innocent life, even though atrocities may be done to you, your family, your country. Even then, Islam does not give a right to a Muslim to kill any innocent person. So we condemn those acts, those statistics that they mention. There is no evidence to it. And let's not just pick on Muslims only. We have to condemn the Muslims whenever they're doing bad things. But let's look at the global picture, that committing of the acts is a minute minority of percentage compared to the acts done, similar acts in the USA, similar acts in Europe, similar acts in China, Russia. So when we look at the global picture, people are killing each other. We have to look at the cause, we have to condemn it, and we have to find ways how we could reduce or eliminate it so we can live in peace and harmony as brothers and sisters with humanity.
That's interesting you mentioned that, because many people, they don't look at the facts on the ground. I mean, and they throw out these statistics, then give a reference. There's a study that was done by the University of North Carolina. Now, this is a prestigious university, and they showed that less than 0.002% of Americans killed since 9/11. were killed by Muslims. And I hesitate there because Muslim is one who submits to the will of God. Just like Jesus was a Muslim, Moses, Abraham. So anyone who's submitting to the will of God, he can't be radical or going against peace. And the mission of peace, which what Islam is promoting. So no such thing as radical Muslim, radical Islam. The individual is crazy, insane. Look, Islam says don't drink alcohol. There's Muslims drinking alcohol. Islam says don't gamble. Muslims gambling. Islam says don't kill innocent men, women, and children. Some Muslims might do it. Don't worry, the whole, if it don't matter if the statistics are through the roof, which they're not. It's against Islam, so you can't blame Islam. You don't blame the drunk driver. You don't blame the car for the drunk driver, do you? The manufacturer of the car? No, you blame that driver, the individual. So like my good friend Dr. Sabil was saying, geopolitical, and he's not a terrorist expert. Why don't you bring on a terrorist expert?
My opinion is injustice, humiliation, oppression. That is, are the most common causes of terrorism.
Some people claim that religion motivates terrorists. However, the academic research of Dr. Robert Pape has proved the claim to be false.
What I did is I collected the first complete database of every suicide terrorist attack around the world since 1980. The first version of this database was published a few years ago, and it went from 1980 to 2003. Think of that as like the pre-Iraq database. And then the second version from 2004 on, think of that as the data that's happened since Iraq. And what the data shows quite clearly is that the principal cause of suicide terrorism is foreign occupation. In that period from 1980 to 2003, there were 315 completed suicide terrorist attacks by 462 suicide terrorists who actually killed themselves. I don't mean attempts. These are people who actually killed themselves. The world leader during that 24-year period was not an Islamic group at all. They're the Tamil Tigers in Sri Lanka. The Tamil Tigers are a Marxist group, a secular group, a Hindu group. In fact, over half of those 462 suicide attackers were purely secular. Because you see, many Muslim suicide terrorist groups are also purely secular, such as the PKK in Turkey. The PKK in Turkey, which did numerous suicide attacks in the 1990s, is again a Marxist, read anti-religious suicide terrorist group. Because you see, if Islam, as sort of a radical religion, or if it were just radical Muslims doing this, then what you would expect is sort of this thin veneer of suicide attack kind of scattered all around the world. You would expect that, oh, there's 1.4 billion Muslims. You know, there's this teeny tiny fringe of Muslims kind of everywhere who'd be willing to do suicide attack. But that's not the way the data looks. It's really concentrated, and it's really concentrated in occupations.
Like, you know Dr. Pape?
Yes.
You know what he said? Tell him what he said, Dr. Pape, about this fact where he talked about so important. This is a terrorist expert. Please, Alex Jones and these other individuals, bring experts like this who will clearly said they analyzed over 2,000 some plus terrorist attacks. And he said that Islam had little to nothing to do with motivating people to do such criminal acts. Come on!
There is not a single passage in the Quran. There are 6,000 plus passages or ayahs, verses in the Quran. Not a single one of them incites a person to commit acts of terrorism. In fact, the passages of the Quran, they are there to unite humanity under the worship of one God. They are there to motivate people to do good to others. They are there to prevent wars. They are there to connect hearts with other hearts and minds so we can live in peace and harmony and justice with each other. There's not a single passage from Muhammad, peace be upon him, that incites a person to commit acts of terrorism. In fact, there are passages from Muhammad, peace be upon him, in which he mentioned that you're not a believer if you eat your food and if your neighbors are hungry. Wow. You know, how can a person commit acts of terrorism when a person is supposed to look out for the neighbors? So there are passages after passages and examples and examples from Muhammad, peace be upon him, that came to guide humanity, that came to make sure that we live in peace and harmony under the worship of the one creator. So these are the teachings of Islam. You know, just like people have abused the Old Testament and the New Testament, and they committed acts of atrocities like the Crusaders. Some people have misused the Buddhist scriptures and the political stance, and they are abusing and killing innocent Muslims in Burma. Some Christians in the Dark Ages, they committed acts, heinous acts, atrocities against the Muslims in the Inquisition. For all of these acts, we don't blame Christianity, we don't blame Judaism, Hinduism, Buddhism, we blame those people. It is the shortcomings of those people. In the same way, when we look at the geopolitical environment, there are many, many reasons, many, many causes that are inciting a person to commit acts of terrorism. And definitely it is not the Quran, it is not Islam, because Islam and the Quran and the example of Muhammad, peace be upon him, they came to unite humanity under the worship of the one creator. And the way that they have created the wonderful environment in the history of Islam, that how people, they used to live in peace and harmony like in Muslim Spain, ruling under Islam, the Christians, the Jews, and the people of other faiths, they used to come and they learn within the Islamic rule. How it was a golden age in Baghdad, in Cairo, in Damascus, and in Spain. So these are the examples of the true teachings of Islam. If somebody is misusing it, we blame the person, we condemn the person, but not the faith of Islam.
Brilliant, removing the ignorance. Before we go to the next clip, so I had mentioned the study that was done, Dr. Sabil of North Carolina, and they came with the numbers of 0.002% of Americans since 9/11. And you know, you have like 3,000, and this is what's fascinating, you know, you don't have the shows like Alex Jones, they know that Muslims weren't responsible for that. This is what they propagate. And you have a clip of Trump. We'll go to this clip.
Great. Donald, you're probably the best known builder, particularly of great buildings in the city. There's a great deal of question about whether or not the damage and the ultimate destruction of the buildings was caused by the airplanes, by architectural defect, or possibly by bombs or aftershocks. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, it was an architectural defect. You know, the World Trade Center was always known as a very, very strong building. Don't forget, that took a big bomb in the basement. Now, the basement is the most vulnerable place because that's your foundation. And it withstood that. And I got to see that area about 3 or 4 days after it took place, because one of my structural engineers actually took me for a tour because he did the building. And I said, I can't believe it. The building was standing solid, and half of the columns were blown out. I mean, so this was an unbelievably powerful building. If you know anything about structure, it was one of the first buildings that was built from the outside. The steel, the reason the World Trade Center had such narrow windows is that in between all the windows, you had the steel on the outside. So you had the steel on the outside of the building. That's why when I first looked, and you had big, heavy I-beams, when I first looked at it, I couldn't believe it, because there was a hole in the steel. And this is steel that was, you remember the width of the windows in the World Trade Center, folks? I think, you know, if you were ever up there, they were quite narrow. And in between was this heavy steel. I said, how could a plane, even a 767 or 747 or whatever it might have been, how could it possibly go through the steel? I happen to think that they had not only a plane, but they had bombs that exploded almost simultaneously, because I just can't imagine anything being able to go through that wall. Most buildings are built with the steel is on the inside around the elevator shaft. This one was built from the outside, which is the strongest structure you can have, and it was almost just like a can of soup.
And they know about the 3,000 plus architects and engineers that are questioning the official story. These are the people from Alex Jones. They bring this stuff up.
Brand new poll that show that more and more Americans are rethinking what happened on 9/11, and increasingly, more people are saying they do not believe the government's version of events.
I'm a family member trying to find out the answers to the murder of 3,000 plus people.
Please look at architects and engineers. People all around the world, scientists all around the world, are questioning this.
It took some kind of consciousness raising on my part before I was willing to look at the possibilities. And really, you need to go where the evidence leads.
As an engineer, I have 3 degrees in engineering. I signed that petition for architects and engineers for 9/11 truth some time ago because the American people absolutely need the truth of 9/11.
Look at the evidence. In fact, I'll say this very categorically. Any reasonable person who looks at the evidence that's been brought forward has got to come away with the feeling that something has to be done, a real investigation has to be put forward. Mm-hmm.
If you can watch that video and not have your convictions changed regarding how 9/11 happened, then you just kind of, you need to get an EEG, you know, an EEG, an electroencephalogram, something to check your brain waves. I mean, if you can watch that documentary and walk away with the conviction that you came in with, something's just wrong.
So you are the ones promoting, like, don't believe all the hype from the mass media, but why are you guys not working together with your brothers in humanity and promoting this false hub of radicalism, this fake boogeyman that's been created? You know, according to the consumer safety reports, you have more of a chance of being killed by your furniture than some Muslim terrorist. So come on, guys. You know, five out of the last 12 Nobel Peace Prize winners were Muslims. So according to these stats, you know, when you say Muslim should be people who you associate with the peacemakers because they're winning the majority of the Nobel Peace Prizes. Let's go to the next clip, my friends.
And he asked them, what do you think about Sharia law? From children all the way up to old women, we're all like, Sharia law is good. And then he asked, do you prefer Sharia law over American law? They all said yes. Iraq and Afghanistan and other Muslim nations, it's okay to lie to non-believers. So for them, when they do that and they lie and they know they're not being truthful, it's okay because at the end of the day, they're trying, it's an ends to a mean or a mean to an ends. So they're doing that so they can get in.
I sometimes think, do they actually believe the stuff that they're sharing, the information that they're sharing with people? Do they actually believe the stuff? They cover the thing about this like creeping Sharia, that they interviewed some people and they were talking about, we'd rather have Sharia, and what else was the other thing, that Muslims are allowed to lie and all this other hogwash. How would you respond to this?
If by Sharia law, if they mean killing innocent people, forcefully converting them, suppressing the minorities, suppressing the women, if this is what they mean by the Sharia law, I also condemn the Sharia law, or that version of the Sharia law, or that misunderstanding of the Sharia law. I would never believe in that. But that's not what Sharia law stands for, by the way. Sharia law, in plain, simple English definition, is God's guidance. It's a how-to manual that God has given to humanity. And that manual, that guidance, that Sharia law given to Muhammad, peace be upon him, is not the only guidance given to humanity. The Ten Commandments in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse number 3, the Ten Commandments, we say that was the guidance, the Sharia law given to Prophet Moses and his people. Jesus acknowledged that. In Matthew chapter 5, verse number 17, Jesus, peace be upon him, he acknowledged the Sharia law or the guidance given in the Old Testament. He said, I came not to destroy the law or the prophets, I came to fulfill. Anyone who takes away any small portion of that law is the least in the kingdom. Anyone who opposes the law is the highest in the kingdom. So Sharia law is God's guidance given to previous prophets, including Prophet Jesus, Moses, David, Abraham, peace be upon all of them. Now, very important. For a Muslim, if you ask, do you believe in the Sharia law? The Muslims will say yes, because Sharia law is Islam. Sharia law is God's guidance. What are some of the examples, right? Some of you may be asking, really? Sharia law is God's guidance? We believe in that? Yes. Jesus believed in Sharia law. When Jesus did not eat pork, when the Old Testament said, do not eat pork, book of Leviticus, chapter 11, verse number 7, that was the guidance, the Sharia law given to Prophet Moses and his people. Muslims, we don't eat pork. We are following the Sharia law given to Prophet Moses. When I respect my parents, take care of my mother, my parents, my neighbors, I'm following the Sharia law. So yes, if somebody is going to ask me, do you follow the Sharia law? I would say yes. I have to be good to my neighbors. That's part of the Sharia law. If I give charity to a poor person in the downtown of Chicago, I'm following the Sharia law. If I'm helping, assisting a person in the hospital, I'm following the Sharia law. If I'm smiling at my brothers, my sisters in humanity, I'm following the Sharia law. So Sharia law is God's guidance. It came to unite humanity. It came to discipline humanity. It came to provide justice and morality and peace to humanity. Any person can take or misuse anything, by the way. People have misused democracy to commit atrocities, or communism, or Judaism, Christianity, Hinduism, Buddhism. People have misused any concept, any terminology, any terms to misuse it to commit heinous acts all throughout history. So we should not blame that concept. We should blame the people. In the same way, if anyone is misusing Sharia law and forcefully converting some minorities, suppressing the women, or beheading innocent people, they are going against the concept, the spirit, and the teachings of the Sharia law.
You hear often that false message that Islam is allowing people to... It's ludicrous, absurd when you hear this stuff. And I say, like, do they actually believe this? They talk about Muslims being able to lie. What's your... It's just ridiculous. What do you think? How would you respond to that?
Right. You know, so there are 6,000 plus passages in the Quran. 6,000 plus. Not a single passage says that, yes, go and lie. Just because a person is non-Muslim, go and lie. There is no such passage. However, there are some exceptions, right? There are exceptions. Suppose... if you hear a knock at the door and you look out and you see a woman standing up there, she's all crying and hair all over the place, and she's saying that, you know, these people are after her, about to assault her and kill her and compromise her dignity, please open the door. And you open the door and you protect her, and then after 2 minutes you see these people, 10 gang members out there, and they approach your house and they ask, have you seen this lady? What are you going to say? Are you going to say that, yes, she's inside, come and get her? Or are you going to say, no, we have not seen her? You're lying, but you're lying to protect a life. You're not lying just because you want to lie. You're lying to save somebody's dignity, somebody's life. So there's an exception. You agree with that. I agree with that. So if you're going to say that Islam is giving this exception and then you're painting the whole Islam as saying that Islam allows lies, you are just misusing exceptions like that. And these exceptions are rational, logical exceptions. Every person, every religion accepts these exceptions. So no, there is not a single passage in the Quran that says go ahead and lie just for the sake of lying, or lie to the unbelievers just because they are unbelievers. There is no passage in the Quran, and then there is no authentic narration about it or regarding it from Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in that context. Historically, when we look at the life of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, who is described in the Quran as the best example for all of us to follow, in chapter 33 of the Quran, verse number 21. So when we look at his life, from the time that he was born up until the time he passed away, people used to call him by the term or by the attribute of As-Sadiq and Al-Amin, the most truthful and the most honest. So if Islam allowed lies, how come there is not a single instance in the lifetime of Muhammad, peace be upon him, that either a Muslim or a non-Muslim can bear evidence that the Prophet lied? If Islam allowed it, why didn't he lie to the unbelievers, to the Jews, to the Christians, to the Mushrikeen of that time? Not a single evidence. So that means if we are supposed to follow Muhammad, peace be upon him, we should be like him. That means we should neither lie nor be dishonest. So those are the teachings of Islam. So there is no truth in that Islam allows lies. Muhammad is the best example, peace be upon him, and he was the most truthful person.
As silly as it may sound, when you hear these things, it's out there. People are propagating this misinformation. Let's go to the next clip so we can hopefully help eradicate some of this sincere ignorance, conscientious stupidity, all in the essence. Hopefully we can work together with some of these people who are propagating this stuff, if this gets to them, and now they can either continue on with these lies and misinformation, half truth equals a lie, or they can go ahead and invite us, bring us on, and let's work together. Go ahead, let's go to the next clip.
They want to, you know, claim that they're the peaceful religion or the religion of peace. Meanwhile, to prove it, they're willing to go out and kill people and or attack them, cut them, drive them over with cars, throw them off bridges, kill homosexuals, do all this stuff to prove just how peaceful they are. That's insanity.
It is insanity.
Whoa, a lot of information. Where do you start? If they are going out of their way to show Islam as a religion of peace, bringing peace into the life of so many people who submit their will to the Creator. That's what Islam means, to submit your will to Almighty God. You guys know as Christians, the Lord's Prayer, or our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's what Islam means, to submit your will to Almighty God. And a Muslim is one who has submitted to God. But now, Dr. Sabil, you heard the rhetoric that Muslims are going out of their way to show Islam is peaceful by killing this person, beheading this person. What's your response?
You know, as Muslims, as Americans, as humans, if any person does any heinous act the way that that person did, we have to condemn it. It's just plain black and white. But we cannot attach the faith of Islam to that act, or the faith of Christianity for that matter. You know, there is no excuse for what he did. So all I need to say again is that when you look at the passages from Quran and the example from Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, those passages, they incite people to unite with other humans, to be good to other people, to be good to neighbors. There is not a single passage that incites a person to commit acts of atrocities. A person can take anything out of context, as people have done to Christianity, Judaism, Hinduism, Buddhism, but we don't blame those faiths, we blame the person. You know, when the question came, or the allegation came, that these people in Minnesota from the Sudanese background, they want to live under the Sharia law in Sudan, somehow it gives the impression that people want to impose the Sharia law in the USA by force and whatnot. That's not the case, because as Muslims, as Americans, because we are Americans, by the way, yes, we believe in Islam, but we are also Americans. When we look at a very important statistic, it shows that 57% of the Republicans in this country, when they took the survey last year, 57% of Republicans, they said that they want to replace the US Constitution with Christianity. So are we now going to say, you know, radical Christianity, the radical Republicans, the radical Christians have a conspiracy, they want to take over and they want to overrule the Constitution? Are we going to, go in that direction? Perhaps not. So in the same way, those Muslims who mentioned they want to rule by the Sharia law, you have to look at the definition of the Sharia law that they give. If the definition is that suppressing women, atrocities, converting, forced conversions, obviously no one would like that. That's not Sharia law. Sharia law came to oppose that, to fight discrimination. Sharia law came to give rights to the minorities, freedoms to the people of other faiths, and unity to humanity. So it's very important for our viewers, especially Mr. Alex Jones and his anchor people, that please read on Islam, read the passages from the Quran in context. Let's not use double standard to blame Islam for the acts of a few minority of the Muslims, just like we don't want to blame Christianity for the acts of a few minority of the Christians, the good and bad apples and all over the place. If you want to know what Islam is, pick up the Quran. We could send it to you for free. If you call 800-662-ISLAM, we'll send you a free English translation of the Quran. Read it in context. If you have any questions, give us a call. We'll be happy to discuss that with you. And in closing, This summarizes what Islam says. There's a passage in the Quran, chapter 49 of the Quran, verse number 13, 1-3. God is speaking to humanity and God is saying that, O mankind, O humanity, I, means God, has created you from one single male and one single female and made you into peoples and tribes that you get to know each other, that you get to know each other, not that you may despise each other. And the best amongst you is the one who is a well-mannered person. So this is what Islam teaches. It came to bring humanity together as brothers and sisters, worshipping the one creator and forming societies which are going to be based upon morality, based upon justice, based upon equality. And yes, the outcome of all of this would be peace. So we hope and pray that you learn more about Islam. Let's work together so we can have the best world for all of us and the best hereafter, but by God's guidance and mercy in the hereafter.
And thank you for everybody who tuned in. We try to clear up these false notions and these misconceptions. And hopefully, if you've had an open heart and open mind, you can put things together and see that the way things have been presented to you, half-truths, as I said, equals one lie, or big lie. The program, Alex Jones Show, has been known to expose some of the lies that are out there. But now you jump on the bandwagon, you start bashing Islam and Muslims and not bringing on Muslims to go ahead and represent their faith. I mean, you're not contributing to better humanity. You're actually causing harm to humanity. You don't want to do that. We started off also with Martin Luther King, talked about the greatest danger to mankind is sincere ignorance. If you want to learn karate, go to a karate expert. You want to learn jiu-jitsu, come to me. You want to learn about the Muslims, come to the Muslim. Invite the Muslim. We invite you formally to come on our program. Come on, let's have a healthy dialogue. Get to the bottom of things. Let us come on your program. Let's talk about it. And hopefully we can work together instead of feeding into this fear frenzy and these lies and misinformation. And at the end, you're not contributing to making society, the world, a better place. You're just promoting fear, anxiety, and misinformation. I know you guys don't want to do that, do you? You want to continue doing that? No, you don't. So come on, let's work together. We'll see you next time, every week, here on the Deen Show. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.